You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 8. And we'll just, I want to teach that psalm and just some thoughts that are stirring in me concerning Psalms 8. Hallelujah. Glory! Yeah. Good to be in church. Hallelujah. You know, the psalmist here, David, of course, writing this psalm, he's looking at the heavens, he's looking at the vastness of the universe, the vastness of God, the greatness of God, and I can actually remember those thoughts coming through, going through my head before I accepted Jesus, before I got saved. I remember, oh my goodness, years and years ago, I was looking up at a starry night, you know, one of those starry, starry nights, you know, remember that old song? I was just looking up the stars and thinking of the vastness of everything. And at that point, I wasn't a Christian. At that point, I didn't believe in God. I was just confused, you know. I was lost. And in fact, I tell you what the story was. I'd gotten real messed up on some drugs, and I'd gone out and pitched a tent, trying to dry out. That's what I'd done, way out in the country, because we lived way out in the country. And I would do that. I'd go out there and spend a couple of days and try to get straight, because man, my mind gets so messed up, and I'd get out there and just try to dry out, you know, from doing the stuff I did. And it's just one of those nights I was out there laying in the back of the pickup, I think. I was by myself, you know. I was looking up at the stars and thinking about how, God, I felt so empty. You know, I just felt so empty. I'd look up there and it was just went on forever and ever. And it was so big and so vast. And I thought, God, I said, how could I even count for anything? I'm just a speck in the vastness of everything. You know, not knowing God, not knowing Jesus, not knowing I had a purpose, not knowing that God loved me. See, I didn't know any of that. And so my life was purpose. It didn't mean anything. It had no meaning to me. It was just empty. And so I'd get straightened up and I'd just go hit it again. You know, just go hit it again. And then I'd get so messed up. I had enough sense to know I had to get away from everybody to get straight back out again. And I would do that. I mean, I moved out of the house when I was 16. 16 years old. I just moved out. Well, actually, I wasn't quite 16. And I left home. I lived away from home, and I even went to school for a little while. While I was 16, I'd write my own excuses. You know, I'd turn my excuse in. I was sick. Sign me. You know, I would really just messed up. And, of course, I had to accept that for a while, and finally they eventually know the story, kicked me out of school. But I thought of this psalm. When I was reading this psalm after I got saved, it meant so much to me. It was personal to me, you know, when I read it, because I could relate. I thought, oh, yeah. That's kind of the way we are a lot of times. We feel like we don't count. We're insignificant when we see something larger going on, something bigger going on. And this is kind of a misconception that because something's big, it's more important because something's small. That'd be like, I'll tell you the insaneness of that idea is that would mean my leg is more important than my brain. Because my brain's smaller than my leg. See how dumb that really would be. I mean, I'm driving around in a truck, or I'm driving around in my expedition, and the expedition's more important than I am because it's bigger than me. Are you out there? Or around people maybe that are taller than we are, and they're more important because they're taller than we are. Or, hey, there's somebody smaller than we are, we're more important there because they're smaller than we are. That's just kind of a dumb way of thinking, but that's kind of the way we think a lot of times. Even whether it's business. Somebody's got a big business, we got a small business because we don't count because we don't have a business as big as they do. Or pastors. We got a church, but there's a so-and-so's got a church that's much bigger than our church, so they must be more important than we are. But hey, thank God I'm more important. That other guy down there doesn't have near as many people as I have. Hello. Now, you stretch that thing out, you look at the universe, and you say, well, look how big it is. I can't count because look how big that thing is. So because it's big, it's more important than what's small. Well, I want to tell you something. That's not life, and that's not the way it works, and that's sure not the way God thinks. In fact, the truth be known, He made all that for you. Wow. Amen? So when you look at the vastness of the universe, and you look at the stars that cannot be numbered, and you try to compare yourself with them, not a fair comparison, because that has nothing to do with greatness or importance. In fact, Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I guess God puts more importance on a soul than he does the whole world, doesn't he? So he doesn't play that game, bigger is more important than smaller. So I guess we ought to stop playing that game too, don't you think? Don't you think a lot of our trouble comes from that, really, when you get down to it? We'll start comparing ourselves among ourselves and comparing business with other business, ministries with other ministries, or things you've accomplished with people that accomplish other things. And, you know, like if the president walked in here, we would obviously be in awe, you know, at his office and the greatness of that office. But he's just a man like you are. Just a person like you are. Has the same needs, same wants, same cares, you know, visions and dreams and so on and so forth. Just a person. We're all in this thing together. And God loves us all. And we're all important. We all count. We all have potential. All of us. And even our small part, seemingly small part, is important to God. Because how do you put a value on a soul? What if you led one person to the Lord? Oh, someone that led 100,000 or a million people is more important than you. Well, how can you even make that comparison? That one soul that got saved because you witnessed to them, that's worth everything. If you lived your whole life and led one person to the Lord, that would be worth something.
That's right. Amen.
Woo! Oh, and that's good stuff. Amen? In fact, you found Psalms 8? Hold your place there. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Don't lose Psalms 8. 2 Corinthians 10. Notice what it says. Let me get in the right book. 2 Corinthians 10. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. It says, "For we dare not class or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? Well, this guy's more important because he does more than I do. Or this guy's more important because he has more than I have. Well, God doesn't see that at all. We're all important to Him. Every single person is important to God. Amen. I'm just as important as Billy Gray. And so are you. Jesus came to die for you just like He did anybody. Yeah, but you know, see, he's got all this stuff and he's done all these things in his life. Well, no, we're all important to God. We're all significant. And this inferiority thing that we pick up in life, this comparative thing that we pick up in life, I'll tell you, this does a lot of damage. It keeps us inferior. It keeps us about half mad half the time. Life's unfair, so on and so forth. I'll forget all that. God loves you. Wherever you are, He loves you. And wherever you are, you're important. You're significant. You may not be a whole lot in your eyes, but God, Jesus came and died for you so you can go to heaven. And remember the snowflake. Not very much, but it's amazing when a bunch of snowflakes get together, what happens? I lost you on that one, but think about it. Turn back to Psalms 8. You ready to look at this and take this apart? Psalms 8. Here's David. You know, he's talking, and he's just looking around, looking at creation, standing in awe. I've been at awe. I stand in awe at things. I'm amazed at creation. I'm amazed at landscapes and scenery and so on and so forth, what God does. I'm amazed at what man does. I mean, you look at buildings and cathedrals and things. It's just amazing. It really is. And sometimes we'll do this game of comparing and think we don't count, but God just sure doesn't see that way. Thank God. He starts out, he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Thank God for that. Amen. "Who have set your glory above the heavens." Well, we can see His glory. We can see His handiwork up there. And I believe that awe, that feeling, that sense of reverence, as it were, that's inside of us when we see beauty and grandeur and splendor and majesty is an indicator from God. It's a sign from heaven. It's drawn us to Him, no question. I agree with that. But let's just leave it right there. Let's don't take it further than it was meant to be taken. When I see the heavens, it should remind me of God. It should point me to God. But it shouldn't remind me of my insignificance, and I don't count, and I'm just a speck, and what am I? That's going the other way with it. Actually, it ought to stir you and shake you to realize that this God that made all that loves me. It ought to have the opposite effect of making you feel inferior. It ought to shake you. It ought to encourage you. It ought to stir you. Oh, praise God. You know what? That's my God. That's my daddy made all that up there. Look at the heavens. Look at... How excellent, Lord, is your name in all the earth. And then he says, "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Of course, that's, when you think about that, it's amazing how God uses little things to, you know, overcome strong things and weak things to overcome, or simple things to overcome wise things. We make things so complicated, all we have to do is trust God. Amen. And if you just had childlike faith, God works things out with childlike faith. And He confounds the wisdom of men. And he goes on and says, when I consider your heavens, now this is what got me when I was reading this after I got saved. It's been over 30 years ago. He said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Man, we've had some pretty nights lately with that full moon out there. Have y'all seen it lately? Beautiful. Man, I'm telling you, it's just beautiful. You know, I could just stand out there and just gawk at it all night long if it wasn't so cold and I had to go to sleep at night. I mean, really, there's times I've even now go out and just, man, I just look up there and it's just overwhelming. You know, the goodness of God, our God, what He has done when you look at creation. And he says, when I consider, and that's what we ought to do, that was what it was meant for, is for us to consider. How many people go through life and never consider, never notice, you know, never even take note of what God's doing around us all the time. Hallelujah. We are without excuse. Let me tell you something. The man that has not even been to church is without excuse, because the heavens testify of His glory, and that alone ought to put awe and fear in him. Yeah. As it worked, it worked in me back when I was lost. Now, I misinterpreted it, yes, but I tell you what, it grabbed me. Even not knowing God, it grabbed me. There was something supernatural going on there when I'd look at the heavens. I just didn't know what it was. There was something, an emptiness of, you know, the emptiness should have told me I needed something to fill that. The fear, the insignificance in my life when I looked at the huge vastness of the universe should have told me I'm missing it here. I'm missing it. I need something other than what I've got. And that's what it was there for. I just didn't run to the right place. I didn't run to God to get it, to fill that void, to fill that vacuum. I kept running to the wrong place. And so when I look at it, I'd read the wrong picture, you know. So he says, when I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man? See, here's the question. What is man that you are mindful of him? Man, what a question. And I understand that. I understand. When I was lost, that was the question I was asking. And not even believing in God, I just looked at it from the standpoint of why I'm a speck. Man, look at that. Nothing compared to the vastness of the universe. Infinity and beyond. Hello. Anybody see Toy Story? I mean, it just goes on and on and on, man. I remember trying to figure all that out. I mean, I was such an intelligent young man. Should have been a philosopher. But I would think about how the stars just go on and 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 on. And I think, no, that couldn't be. That can't happen. You couldn't go on forever. It's got to stop somewhere. So in my lightning fast mind, I was thinking, well, it's okay, it stopped somewhere. Well, then I think, well, no, that can't be right, because then if it stopped, there'd have to be something on the other side. It can't stop. If you stop it, what's on the other side of where it stops? So I couldn't figure out it stopping. I couldn't figure out it going on and on. And what I should have realized is I wasn't smart enough to figure it out, period. Which is, that's what I finally did figure out when I got saved. There are some things just beyond you and me. Amen? There are some things that are up there, and God put them there just to show us He's God and to testify of His glory. Amen? And the heavens is one of them. Scientists just rack their brains trying to figure out the heavens. They got so many theories about how the universe is made and the expanding universe and how it just keeps growing and going out and out and out and out. And they'd say, well, there's, you know, so many billion, trillion, you know, I don't know how many stars. It's kind of like, you know, the budget in the United States. You know, it's up in the trillions. I don't know what it is. But I've always wondered that. How in the world would they even know that? How in the world? Do you think anybody's able to count all those stars up there? And they'll make statements like, well, you know, the Earth started, you know, 4 to 8 billion years ago, you know, give it a little 4 billion year leeway there, you know. I'm thinking, we go back that, how do you know that? Where do you get that figure? You know, everything's guessing and speculation. Everybody even disagrees among themselves, scientists do, because we just don't know. I mean, the bottom line is the child knows more than a lot of us know when they say God made the earth. Out of the mouth of babes, childlike faith, God made it, He did it. And you know what? As far as we're concerned, God, we count with God. We're important to God. This question is a pretty common question. What is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? He's making that comparison. When I look at the greatness of this and the smallness of me, I must not count because I'm small and it's great. You know, like big is more important than small, like an elephant is more important than a dog, or a computer chip would be less important than a room full of old computers that couldn't do what one chip could do. See how crazy that is? Think like that. So when you look at all of creation, everything God's done, you are more important than all that. Amen. And the psalmist even got a hold of it. He goes on the next verse and says, you have made him. Let's consider this man. You, me. Do we count? Are we important? I mean, when the wheels of time just keep turning and the universe keeps spinning and it just everything's expanding and life goes on century after century, do we really count our insignificant little bitty lives? Yes, they do. They count according to God. It says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. Did you know we have control? We can make a difference. We can pray and change things. Wow. We can change a generation. We can change a nation. We can change a family. We can change our future. A tree can't do that. A tree is what it is. But you can change your destiny. You can change your future. You can actually pray and take authority over all that God has made, and prayer changes things. Now, you're not God, but I'll tell you what, you're under God. God placed you under him. It says you have made him a little lower than the fifth verse. Well, let's back up fourth verse. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. That word angels actually is Elohim, and it should be translated God. He said, well, I don't think that's right. Well, I'm sorry, that's just what it is. It's the Hebrew word Elohim. And it was the same word translated in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Elohim. That's right. So God made us lower than him. Yes. We're not God. We're definitely lower than God. Yes. We're not saying that. You're not God and never going to be God. But God made you a little lower to him and put you in authority over the works of his hands. Amen. Wow. I guess I am a little significant here. Yeah. I guess I do count, don't I? I guess when I look at everything that God made, that he doesn't see it the same way I see it. Maybe I ought to change my perspective. Maybe I ought to look at me the way God looks at me. Hey, new concept. Mm-hmm. Maybe I am important. Maybe I do count for something. Maybe I'm not worthless. Maybe I can change my future. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can change your future. You can change your destiny. You can make a difference because God made you that way. He didn't make you like the stars. They're wonderful to look at and gaze at. He didn't make you like the trees. It's nothing like a big, mighty oak. I mean, it just draws my attention. I think they're beautiful. The mountains are just wonderful. But you know, Jesus said, if I spoke to a mountain, it'd be removed. Go wrap your mind around that. That right there blows my mind away even trying to figure that one out. But that's what Jesus said. He said, if you say to this mountain, be there removed, be thou cast in the sea, and not doubt in your heart, believe the things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Mark 11:23. Wow. I'd figure, you know, he'd say something like, see that mountain over there, and you think you count and you're important. Look how big. God put that mountain over. You're nothing compared to that mountain over there. That's not what Jesus said. He said something totally opposite. Revolutionize your thinking about this thing. This big mountain over here. God says you're bigger than that mountain. This big crisis you're facing, this big challenge in front of you, you know, this fear that you're facing, God says, look, you speak to that thing and it will move.
Amen. That's right.
You see all this out here? I put you over all this out here. I made you just a little lower than me. You still have to come to me and you still have to use my name. But if you'll use my name and come to me, you can make a difference. You can change the world. In fact, if you get empowered with the good news of Jesus Christ, you will change your world. Amen. So, you know, are you significant? Do you count? How do you see yourself? Do you think you're worthless? You're not. You think you don't have a future? You do have a future. If you'll grab it, if you'll go for it. You know, Brother Osteen used to quote this poem all the time and kind of in line with this because it talks about the stars, the stream, the starry stream. He says, Great it is to dream the dream when you stand in youth by the starry stream, but a greater thing is to fight life through and say in the end the dream is true. God's calling us to fight, and He's calling us to win. He's calling us to take our authority. He's calling us to stand. He's calling us not to be weak, not to give in, not to think that we're inferior, that we don't count, but to realize that when we consider everything, that God actually put us down here to make a difference here. He gave us authority through prayer and through faith to make some changes. Man, I just feel like I don't count. No, you do count. Man, I just don't feel I can compare. Quit that comparison, because size has nothing to do with this. Vastness has nothing to do with this. Authority has everything to do with this. You are important. You may feel like nothing, but you're something. I'm telling you what, don't go by that feeling. Woo! So, you have made Him a little lower than God, actually. And you have crowned Him with glory and honor. Wow. You have made Him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Now, that just blows me away. I mean, I'm going through life thinking I'm some kind of puppet here that, you know, whatever will be, not a whole lot I can do about it. I just live my life, do the best I can, but you never know what's going to happen. You never know, man. I mean, fate, sneak up and grab you. It'll get you. You know, it just wasn't meant to be. You know, we talk like that. Something doesn't happen. It just wasn't meant to be. Whatever will be, you know. Somebody dies, well, it's just His time. And if you didn't die, you'd go, well, it just wasn't my time yet. You know, we say dumb things like that, that we just don't make any sense. The Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible's telling us, and God's telling us, that we do have a choice in life. We can make a difference. We ought to start serving Him, pray and believe in Him, trust in Him, because He put us down here to have dominion. That's what prayer's about. Yeah. Woo! And don't be overwhelmed by the size of the problem. Yeah. Don't be overwhelmed by how big this thing looks. Man, this thing's huge. Yeah, but see, that doesn't mean it's more important. I mean, I've been to India where they train those elephants. In fact, in 1980, I went to India, ministered over there. I went there for 3 weeks the first time, went there 6 weeks another time, and just preached all up in the southern part of India, one village after another. I went to places like Mavalakera, and I went to preached in Trivandrum and Alappi and Trichur and Cochin, and the mountains of Manimuli. I just love saying those words. And I preached in all those villages. And I preached to these Hindu people that spoke the dialect of Malayalam, was their language that they spoke. And, you know, I've been over there and preached and ministered and seen the power of God come to pass and, you know, see God move in the midst of all that. And as far as God's concerned, it doesn't matter who you are, you can make a difference. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on in your life, if you'll put Him first, you can change some things, you can pray, and it doesn't matter the size of the problem, it doesn't matter the size of the mountain, God's bigger. He's bigger than that. You don't need to see yourself as insignificant. See, that's the thing I battled when I first got called to teach, was my insignificance. I never will forget when God called me to teach. I thought, I'm not capable of this. I can't do this. Because we play those games. We think we're not important. We don't count. Oh, I could never do that. You can do whatever God tells you to do.
That's right.
It's a very common thing to feel inferior and feel insignificant. But we count, and God knows we count. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I was going to tell something about it, and I forgot what it was. But I'm not getting old, and my memory's not slipping. You heard about those old guys who got together. You know, the guy says, man, he says, he said, I'm just having trouble with my knees, my elbows. You know, a bunch of old men sitting around talking about, oh, man, my elbows, my knees. Well, that's nothing. I can't hardly hear anything. I'm getting to where I can't hear anything. Got to have people holler. And that's why he's hollering, because he can't even hear himself, you know. Another guy says, well, my eyesight's about gone. I can't hardly see anything, and it's just terrible. One of the other guys says, well, ain't it good? We still got our driver's license. Anyway, something to thank God for. Amen. Fifth verse. For you have made him a little lower than him, than God, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You and I can pray and make a difference.
That's right.
Amen. Amen? Amen? We can make a difference by praying, by taking authority. Everybody say, I have authority. Okay, see, now if you have authority, it doesn't matter how big something is that you have authority over. You just tell it to do whatever you have authority to tell it to do, and it's got to do it.
That's right.
You steer that steering wheel on that big old car, that big old truck, it's got to go because you're the one driving that thing. Just because it's bigger than you doesn't mean it's better than you or has more authority or significance than you have.
That's right.
All has to do with, you know, authority. I mean, that's what prayer is about. We have authority. I count. I'm important. Maybe things are bigger than me. Maybe things seemingly are beyond me. Maybe what you're facing is overwhelming emotionally, and your mind can't seem to wrap around it. But you need to remember, it doesn't matter how big it is. It doesn't matter what seemingly is overwhelming. What matters is that you count. God put you in authority. And if you pray, it'll change.
That's right.
Woohoo! I'm sorry to stir you up. And cheer you up, you know. How many times in life you face mountains that are just bigger than you are? They're just overwhelming. You stand almost in awe at them because it's so great, the challenge. But don't forget how God made us and the position that we have. He gave us authority over all the works of his hands. And prayer can change anything.
That's right.
Woo. Man, that's good stuff. So he says, sixth verse, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. I know I was telling about that elephant one in India.
Yeah.
So there was this elephant. I remember I was going to, we were going up in the mountainous region of India. And we'd gone to a teak wood plantation, a rubber tree plantation, because we had to go through that to get up to this place. We went as far as we could in a car, got in a jeep, went as far as we could in a jeep, crossed a couple of streams, got in a canoe, and then we crossed another river, and then we climbed a mountain, and then I preached up in this mountain. And several Hindu ladies got saved. I never will forget that service. But on that way up there, we'd pass this elephant on the side of the road. He's just standing over there, and he had a little bitty rope tied to his leg and just a little stake in the ground. I mean, it really is the most amazing thing. We stopped there for some reason. I don't remember what it was. And I walked over and, you know, looked at the elephant, and I was asking the interpreter about it, you know, about this elephant. And I said, why didn't he pull that stake out? And he says, well, they train them when they're little bitty elephants. They'll put a chain around their leg and put them tied to a tree. There's no way they can move the tree. As they get a little bigger, you know, they'll just tie a rope around it to the tree. And then finally they just get to where, you know, they'll try it and try it and can't get loose. Finally, when they get full grown, they'll just put a stake in the ground and just tie a little cord around it. As soon as they feel a little pressure, they just stop. Because they're trained to just give up. They don't realize that they can actually pull that stake out. Kind of like we are sometimes. We're trained to think we can't do anything. We can't make a difference. And the least little pressure, we just stop.
Yeah.
Come on. And it's in our head. See, it's in our mind that we can't make it. We can't get out of this. And we need to realize who we are.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of significance. There's a little Indian guy. And those in southern India, they're a little shorter. And it's amazing. They're a little shorter and a little darker. In northern India, they're a little taller and a little lighter, and they have that caste system. And just like you'd have prejudice here, a lot of times we have prejudice between black and white people, the darker Indians generally are looked down on and do the more of the menial tasks, and the lighter-skinned Indians usually do the more important jobs. They have prejudice all over the world, let me tell you. That caste system you hear about, it really is. I mean, they look at the skin color, and they're just worth less because they're darker. You know, it's just crazy. It's just wrong. It has nothing to do with the reality of God in life. We're all important. We all count. God does not see color. Are you with me? And size doesn't have anything to do with it either. This little Indian can just lead that elephant all around that plantation. And all that elephant's got to do is just stomp on him one time. He's gone. He's history. He is out of here. But the authority that little Indian has overrides the size of that elephant. See the point?
Yeah.
Authority always overrules size. Always overrules the problem. Woo. What you and I need to do is consider. I think most of the time we just don't consider. Sixth verse. You have made him to have dominion over all the works of your hands. Wow. You have put all things under his feet. Y'all reading that? That's in the Bible. I'm just reading that right out of the Bible. So when you look at all this, remember, God put us over all this. Getting quiet in here. And he goes on, he says, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field. Now, have you know that's the case? Do you think that that bull out there, that big Brangus bull or, you know, Brahma bull or whatever bull you got, whatever Simmental, whatever kind of bull you got, do you think you could manhandle that bull and pick it up, put it on your shoulders and take off? No, couldn't do that. But you know what? You rule that bull if you're the farmer. You tell that bull where to go. You feed that bull what you feed him. You load him up and corral him up. Now, you got to respect him, give him his space. I understand that. But he's not over you. You're over him. And you're not near the size of that cow. Or a whole herd of cows, if that's the case. Why? Authority. And you can see even in that, just the farmer ought to be able to tell, we got authority over the beast of the field.
That's right.
And it's not because we're bigger than they are. It's because we just have God made us that way. Why are we letting problems roughshod over us? I mean, we just like a stampede, you know, when problems come, and we just lay down and let it run right over us. We ought to put our hand up and stop that thing. Like a policeman running out in the middle of the road and stopping an 18-wheeler. Just put his hands up, he can stop it. That 18-wheeler will run right over that man. But he's got authority if he's a policeman, and that 18-wheeler is going to stop, not because it's bigger, I mean, not because it's smaller, not because that policeman can pick that thing up or do damage to it, but because that policeman has authority. And size of the problem has nothing to do with the significance. Okay, let's finish this up. Y'all ready to wrap this up? Y'all been real quiet tonight. I don't know what kind of sheep or oxen or beast of the field you're having to deal with, but it's probably not animals. It's probably some other problem. I want to encourage you that you count you're important. Quit trying to compare yourself to somebody else. Just figure out this, that you count you're important. You yourself important. God made you, and you have authority. You can take care of the situation. Well, if I was Billy Graham, well, you don't have to be Billy Graham to take care of the situation. Well, if I was old soul, you don't have to be anybody else. You just need to be you. In Jesus' name, you can make a difference. In Jesus' name, you have been given authority. And you can make that mountain go. And you can turn those cows around. Amen? All sheep, all oxen, even the beasts of the field. The birds there, the fish of the sea. All that pass through the paths of the seas. Boy, I love that. Oh, Lord. Now, here's what happens when you consider that and think of it this way. Isn't God good? Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You look at all this and you go, wow, you gave me authority over all this. At first I'm at awe at it, and then I realize, wait a minute, God gave me authority over all this. Then I go back to where he started. He said, Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Wow. Isn't that powerful? See, we stand in awe at the universe, and rightly so, but we all stand in awe at the authority he's given us. And it ought to cause us to give him glory. Praise God when the problem comes. I got authority over that problem. Praise God when the mountain looms on my horizon. Hallelujah. All I got to do is think about it. God has put me over that.
Amen.
He didn't put that over me. He put me over that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This crisis, no, he didn't put it over me. He put me over that crisis.
Amen.
I do count. I have significance. I have been made a little lower than God, but he's given me dominion over all the works of his hands. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. Or as we'd say today, Lord, you rock. That's what the kids would say. He rules is what we're saying. He's Lord. Don't let that problem lord over you. You take authority. You can do it. You can do it because God made you that way.
That's right.
He gave you that kind of authority through prayer, through faith, through serving him. Hallelujah.